an odd topic tonight. I'm going to be talking about caring and not caring, and what they have to do with Buddhism. And I think I'll begin by saying that we humans are so funny. We get ourselves in all kinds of trouble because of the things that we care about that we probably shouldn't be caring about, the things that we don't care about that we probably should care about. We're really paradoxical. So, first of all, with outer things, we tend to care about all kinds of things that we can't control. It's interesting. All kinds of strong opinions about things that are absolutely outside of our control. And of course, one way to say that, if I say I care about X, I care what happens with X, essentially I'm saying I'm attached to an outcome. I'm attached to the way that it's going to play out. And, you know, it's not necessarily the message we always want to hear, but Buddhism is quite unambiguous about attachments in that sense, you know. It's very terse, just the second noble truth. Attachment leads to suffering. Very clear. And so it's interesting, you know, we might think, well, what is the opposite of that? What is the opposite of caring? You know, and we get the almost stereotype of the person who says, well, I don't care. You know, that sort of thing. And of course, the humor of that is, you know, a person putting on that kind of dramatic display, like any drama, what they're very much attached to the kind of attention they're going to get for making that statement. You know, there's a way that we humans, we very easily imagine or very easily participate in something like, you know, headlong, passionate excitement, you know, with all kinds of attachment, or, you know, withdrawn, hurt, apathy, and resignation. And both of those really fall short of the middle way. You know, take attachment to any kind of noble cause, you know, be caring about any kind of noble cause, whether it's the, you know, the environment or some kind of social justice work. It's very subtle because Buddhism is not saying don't care, you know, even though caring can involve attachment. You know, why is it that I work for such and such cause? Am I attached to outcome? If I'm attached to outcome, that probably will lead to suffering. Or am I doing it because by serving that cause, by giving energy to it, I'm living out something deep within myself, you know? In other words, is the motivation about an outcome? Or is about fulfilling something within myself by doing the work? You know, and it's an interesting question, I think, for all of us in all of our endeavors, you know, given any of our endeavors, why are we doing them? You know, why do we care about them? You know, where is that caring coming from? You know, is it actually something that I'm doing because it's coming out of my deeper nature? Or am I doing it because I'm looking for recognition or, you know, this sort of thing? And so another thing I'll say about that is I think an underrated component of what goes on with the caring and not caring has to do with boundaries. In other words, if I walk into the world with a, you know, a generous, wide open heart, but I have lousy boundaries, I'm going to have a rough experience. I'm going to be yanked all over the place, you know. But if I have strong boundaries, I can afford to have an open, tender heart because I'm much more discerning about the kinds of energies that I really let into me. You know, this is why the third chakra, which controls boundaries, is often called the power center, because if I have very strong boundaries, I'm a powerful person. So one kind of caring is when we care about things out in the world. And it's a different quality of the word when we talk about caring about people. To treat people in a caring way. And in this sense, the nature of the word is deeply aligned with Buddhism. I think it's fair to say that Buddhism asks all of us to have the most tender, compassionate, sensitive heart that we possibly can have. You know, to be with all other beings from that place of tremendous tenderness and openness. And among other things, that kind of tenderness leads to the other kind of attachment, you know, psychological attachment, the attachment of attachment theory, when we have healthy attachments to people, which is a very different sense. It's almost unfortunate that the same word is used because it's a very different thing. Arguably we have the healthiest psychological attachments when they're the most free of Buddhist attachments, you know, that kind of thing. And caring is very subtle with people. I can care about people, but I can also care about what people think of me, or I can care about what they say, or I can care about what they believe, or, you know, I can get myself into all games like that. And again, I'm getting into the realm of what I can't control. You know, I can love and accept people for who they are. That I can control. You know, but I can't control how other people are going to act, what they're going to believe, what they're going to say, the choices they're going to make. And so it's very interesting to look at the quality of our caring, to what extent is it conditional? You know, I care about you if these conditions are met, you know, versus is it a true gift? You know, am I offering the quality of my heart as a true gift to the world? So at this point, I'll share the quote sheet. I just put the quote sheet in the chat there. And the lead is from Senkan, who is the third Zen patriarch. He was the follower of the follower of Bodhidharma. And he said, this is from his famous work, Verses on the Faith Mind, to set up what you like against what you don't like is a disease of the mind. When the deep meaning of things is not understood, the mind's essential peace is disturbed to no avail. And it is true that we so naturally divide all of reality into, well, these are the things I like, and these are the things I don't like, and then we really care about those distinctions. And it's not the message that we really want to hear when we're, especially when we're in the throes of, but I really want that, but I really don't want that. We don't want to necessarily hear this message, but Buddhism tells us quite dispassionately to set up what you like against what you don't like is a disease of the mind. I think it's worth pointing out that this Buddhist perspective comes from a place of equanimity. It comes from a place of tremendous openness, which is a sort of a different opposite to the attached caring. You know, between attached caring and bitter not caring is equanimity and openness. Meister Eckhart, that incredible wise, you know, Christian mystic with Buddhist wisdom. For the person who has learned to let go and let be, nothing can ever get in the way again. Again, very simple. The Chinese philosopher Hong Jiechen says, "Warm weather fosters growth, cold weather destroys it. Thus a man with an unsympathetic temperament has scant joy, but a man with a warm and friendly heart overflowing blessings, and his beneficence will extend to posterity." And we often underestimate how much the energy that we carry shapes our entire experience of the world. You know, the loudest message that we send is not what we say with our words. It's the deep energy signature that we're carrying in our bodies. Joseph Joubert said, "A part of kindness consists of loving people more than they deserve." I love that quote. Schopenhauer tells us, "Mostly it is loss which teaches us about the worth of things." And it is true, sometimes we don't really know how much we care about something or about someone until it's threatened or until we lose it. John Buchan says, "I believe that all wisdom consists in caring immensely for a few right things and not caring a straw about the rest." A couple quotes from Eleanor Roosevelt, who was a woman of tremendous caring. "We are afraid to care too much for fear that the other person does not care at all." And she also said, "No one can make you feel inferior without your consent." Psychologist Eric Fromm said, "One cannot be deeply responsive to the world without being saddened very often." The paradox of having an incredibly tender heart. Ashley Montague said, "It is not the most lovable individuals who stand in need of more of love, but the most unlovable." And it's fascinating, if you just think about it, sometimes it's the most difficult people in your life who actually are in the need of the most love. Simone Weil says, "Attachment is the great fabricator of illusions. Reality can be attained only by someone who is detached. Agmandu said, "Begin today. Treat everyone you meet as if they were going to be dead by midnight. Extend to them all the care, kindness, and understanding you can muster, and do it with no thought of reward. Your life will never be the same again." Jim Rohn says, "One person's caring about another represents life's greatest value." John Joseph Powell says, "It is an absolute certainty that no one can know his own beauty or perceive his own worth until it has been reflected back to him in the mirror of another loving, caring human being." And it's just a profound reminder how much, just by our own design, how much we need each other. Ram Dass said, "A feeling of aversion or attachment towards something is your clue that there's work to be done." Byron Katie says, "A thought is harmless unless we believe it. It's not our thoughts, but our attachment to thoughts that cause suffering. Attaching to a thought means believing that it's true without inquiry. Belief in a thought is that belief in a thought that we've been attached to often belief is a thought that we've been attached to often for years." And it it's interesting how powerful inquiry and just getting curious about ourselves, how powerfully liberating curiosity can be. Eckhart Tolle said, "How do you let go of attachment to things? Don't even try. It's impossible. Attachment to things drop away by itself when you no longer seek to find yourself in them." Wow. Mary Lou Henner says, "I also think stress is related to control. Whether you're in charge of, when you're in charge of your life, you tend not to care about losing control of things that don't really matter, like traffic jams." Marianne Rodmacher says, "Nurturing is not complex. It's simply being tuned into the thing or person before you and offering small gestures toward what it needs at that time." Jim Butcher says, "There's a primal reassurance in being touched, in knowing that someone else, someone close to you, wants to be touching you. There's a bone-deep security that goes with the brush of a human hand, a silent, reflex-level affirmation that someone is near, that someone cares." Steve Maraboli says, "The reason many people in our society are miserable, sick, and highly stressed is because of an unhealthy attachment to things they have no control over." Sasha Dichter says, "Today, give yourself permission to be outrageously kind, irrationally warm, and improbably generous. I promise it will be a blast." Craig D. Lunsborough says, "Why should I care when no one else does? For the simple reason that the most critical time to care is when no one else does." Shannon Alder says, "Anger, resentment, and jealousy doesn't change the hearts of others. It only changes yours." And she also says, "Somewhere between love and hate lies confusion, misunderstanding, and desperate hope." Martina Boone says, "Sometimes, though, we let ourselves get so used to being fine that we lose track of how not fine we are."